Since the beginning of 2020, I've seen a lot of doctors. It all started that my family doctor retired last year. And this year, I start seeing a new family doctor. So when I told the doctors my family history, my own, you know, my father, started off my elder sister died from heart attack, and then later on, my father died of a heart attack. And the doctors referred me to a cardiologist. And cardiologist asked me to do a stress test in his clinic. So after we've done that, you know, some of you know that I'm always kind of fit, you know, I consider my fit, you know. I swim 3 times a week, try to, and then like every time, so I thought myself was very good in health-wise. So after I finished, you know, the stress test, you know, I thought I would pass by with a flying color. And then the technician said, okay, wait a minute, you know. The doctor would review the results and let you know before he let you go. And then I come back, he says, the doctor wants me to do another stress test, not here, but at a nuclear lab on Chrysler Drive, where they would put some isotope in me and then take x-ray of my heart. So, okay, well, better safe be sorry. So I went there, did the stress test at the nuclear lab, and then the doctor also prescribed ultrasound of my artery and heart. And then after that, he also, later on, he referred me to a CT scan at Brampton Civic Hospital. Wow, I said, wow, this time is serious. Go to the hospital. So I did that CT scan. Apparently, it monitored my calcium count in my heart. And after that, one Friday, the secretary called and said, Dr. Hill wants to see you at the office. And then it turned out that they said the CT scan shows that I have high risk of heart attack. To this, I was shocked. And then he suggested I do the catheterization, okay? It really involved putting in a tiny tube, thin tube, in my vein to look at my heart. So I haven't got the appointment yet, but it was just booked. So he says, I want to see because you are high risk. And then he said, I'll prescribe you some aspirin. So I got the prescription sent to my pharmacy. And my pharmacist said, hey, the doctor also prescribed some nitro sprays to you. Do you know that? I said, no, he just mentioned aspirin. And what is a nitro spray anyway? And he says, nitro spray is something that when you have a heart attack, chest pain, you spray it in your mouth, and it kind of relaxes your blood vessels and could save your life. I said, wow, that's serious. You know, I did not expect the doctor just said aspirin. You know, I thought a lot of heart patients take aspirin. But seems like the doctor is concerned that I can die anytime. So suddenly, there's a thought that comes to me. And it says, Ming, for the past 20 years, you have been telling your people how to live. Maybe from now on, you are showing them how to prepare to die. Recently, a lot of us have fear, anxiety over the COVID-19 this special virus. And a lot of people really anxious, afraid. It seems like death is very real and imminent. Today, according to our lectionary, today is the Transfiguration Sunday. Jesus transfigured in front of his three disciples. And this episode was recorded in all three Gospels, Matthew, Mark, and Luke. In reading today's text, it gives us some assurance, a hope, when we face suffering or even death. I think today's message gives us something to point out that this is what our hope is. In reading today's text, we must also read the previous, what is connecting before, because today's text says after 6 days. So in other words, it's connecting to what happens before. After 6 days, 6 days earlier, Jesus, in the previous chapter, began to tell his people, predict of his death. In verse 8 of the previous chapter, he says, he then began to teach them that the Son of Man must suffer many things and be rejected by the elders, chief priests, and teachers of the law, and that he must be killed and after 3 days rise again. Verse 32, he spoke plainly about this. Jesus, in front of the disciples, predicted his death and resurrected. And this time it's not in parable. He spoke plainly, clearly to his disciples that he will die. And that we are, those of us familiar with text, know what happened. You know, Peter immediately said, no way, you know, you are the Messiah. You know, you should not do that. Messiah don't die. And Jesus rebuked him. And not only that, after rebuking Jesus, Jesus even actually gave an even higher challenge. And he says, for whoever wants to follow me shall deny himself and pick up his cross to follow me. Talking about paradigm shift. On one hand, one moment, Peter declared Jesus as the Messiah. And on another moment, Jesus said, all you followers of me have to deny yourself and pick up a cross. That means choose your death to follow me. What a change. What a heavy burden to follow Jesus. Who can do that? And today, right after this, Jesus showed them his glory, transfiguration. I think transfiguration is meant to kind of smoothen out this edge, you know, this heavy burden. How can one pick up his cross, deny himself, and choose to lose a life in order to gain a life? And transfiguration is meant to give hope, may give encouragement for his disciples to face persecution, hardship, and even death. Transfiguration shows the disciples do not have to be afraid. They have a secure hope. In today's passage, first, we see that hope comes from a vision of the glory of Jesus Christ. Jesus transfigured, changed his appearance in front of the disciples, and this is a foretaste of his second coming. Gospel of Mark says his clothes become dazzling white, whiter than anything anyone in the world could bleach them. It's the whitest of white. And Matthew even says this, his face shone like the sun. His clothes becomes as white as the light. I don't think we can really wrap around our mind around what the disciples are describing, what they saw. How can a person's face be like a sun? If it's like a sun, how can you see it? And how can you recognize Jesus? So the disciples are just beyond words to describe what they saw. It's just the glorious view of Jesus. It's so amazing. And this is the foretaste of Jesus' second coming. On earth, Jesus, as prophesied by Isaiah, this Messiah, this servant of God, had no beauty, no majesty to attract us to him, nothing in his appearance that we should desire him. Yet one day, when our Messiah comes back the second time, he will come in royal glory as the Son of God. And his saints, Moses and Elijah, would also appear with him. The gospel did not say how the disciples recognized them, who is Moses, who is Elijah. But at least it means that the dead people in the Bible, the historic figures that the disciples reading and studying frequently, these dead saints will come back to life at Jesus' return in the last days. Now, as we are getting old, we see our loved one pass away, died one by one. Now, our church 30 years ago used to have a Moses Fellowship. You know that? You know, at that time, at the peak era, they have Moses Fellowship of 30 elderly men and women, you know. But nowadays, these days, Mr. and Mrs. Lai said, well, sometimes we only have, you know, so little, three people. It's hardly you can call a fellowship. When we see that our loved one died one after another, sometimes it can be very discouraging. But Moses and Elijah come back at Jesus. They are the historical people, and their reappearance is very encouraging because their life were not lost. They are still in God's hand. And God gave us a foretaste when the Messiah come, return, his saints will also show up. So I hope that my sister number 5, who died last year, my mother-in-law, also died last year. And maybe Mrs. Fong will come back. We'll meet again. It is just a matter of time. The transfiguration shows us that it is just a matter of time. We see our loved one again. Second, from this passage, please take special attention to Peter's strong expression. You know, Peter always is the first one to speak out his mind, you know. Even though other disciples might have the same feeling, Peter is always their spokesperson. He says, once you see this glorious episode, the scenery, the scene, and he said, just blurted out, Rabbi, it's good for us to be here. Let us put three shelters, which literally is three tents, one for you, one for Moses, one for Elijah. On the one hand, we have to say Peter is very ignorant because the scripture actually say that. He doesn't know what he's talking about. And theologically, he's wrong because he spoke in ignorance because he already forgotten Jesus' mission is not to stay here, but Jesus' mission on earth is to give up his life for the sin of all the people, right? So Jesus cannot be hang here, restricted here. But on the other hand, we can appreciate Peter's excitement. When he see this glorious scene, Peter just blurted out. And he said, I want to live here forever. I want to prolong this. I want to build a shelter so that Jesus, the glorious God, the glorious Messiah, Moses, Elijah, can be here for longer, or if not forever. So the thing is, if a vision of just a brief moment of this glorious revelation, manifestation, for just a few minutes or maybe an hour, were sufficient to warm and stir Peter's heart so much that he wants to prolong it by building shelters to, okay, please stay on a longer. Peter totally forgot about his home, his wife, his fishing business, but he, seeing the scenery, this, he would just say, I want to be here. It's so good to be here. So if just this revelation, manifestation, can draw Peter's heart so much, what then shall we say in the last days when Jesus come with all his saints? The last book of the Bible, Revelation, talk about a new Jerusalem, not tents, not shelters. At that time when we will face our Lord God face to face, and our hearts will be fully satisfied. There will be nothing more for us to desire. Some people say things that, oh, when we are in heavens, we'll be bored, just playing the harp. No, the scripture did not say that. The scripture says our hearts will be so satisfied, everything will be so fulfilled. So you don't need to worry about getting bored in heaven. It's just, it is good to be here. Transfiguration gives us a foretaste that it is good to be with our God, with our resurrected Jesus. It is good to be here. Thirdly, let's take note on the testimony in Jesus as the Messiah. It shows us that everything will work out in accordance to God's plan. The appearance of Moses and Elijah. Moses and Elijah, why these two people? Well, I guess the simple explanation would be Moses and Elijah would be representative of the law and the prophets. Both of the law and the prophets, as represented by Moses and Elijah, endorsing Jesus as the one whom they spoke about in the Old Testament, in the entire Old Testament, entire Hebrew scripture. In the Gospel of Luke, it describes this. They spoke about his departure, Exodus, which he was about to bring to fulfillment at Jerusalem. So Jesus, Moses, and Elijah was talking about God's plan to be fulfilled in Jerusalem. And God's plan is for Jesus to die and resurrect in outside Jerusalem. Jesus is the fulfillment of everything Old Testament prophesies. And the brief appearance and disappearance of Moses and Elijah is significant because it shows that these two saints are only witnesses. They are not the real thing. They are only Jesus is the real, is the significant reality. Moses and Elijah were just witnesses. And also, yes, the testimony came from the voice from heaven. This is my son, whom I love. This is, Christians are reminded that this is a repeat of the testimony at Jesus' baptism. This is my son, my beloved son. And then the voice added, listen to him this time. The transfiguration experience deeply impressed in Peter's life. Towards the end of his life, let's turn to 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 to 18. Towards the end of his life, the Apostle Peter's life, he wrote this to the church. 2 Peter chapter 1, 16 to 18. He said, we did not follow cleverly invented stories when we told you about the power and coming of our Lord Jesus Christ. But we were eyewitnesses of his majesty. For he received honor and glory from God the Father when the voice came to him from the majestic glory, saying, this is my son, whom I love. With him I am well pleased. We ourselves heard this voice that came from heaven when we were with him on the sacred mountain. So for the rest of Peter's life, this transfiguration experience stuck in his mind till the end of his life. And have the church tradition, this memory of transfiguration motivate Peter, not afraid of dying. The tradition of the church is said when Peter was condemned to die, Peter actually says, I want to be crucified on the cross upside down. He said, I'm not worthy to follow after my master to be nailed on the cross the same way. I'm not worthy. I want to be crucified upside down. He joyfully face death and looking for this glory. A couple of days ago, someone shared with me testimony of the Christians in Wuhan, China. You know, that is the epicenter of the COVID-19 virus. When the whole province was shut on lockdown, when the whole city was quarantined, everybody was afraid. And when face masks was in a very, in short, severe short supplies, the videos shows a lot of Christians come out to the streets wearing protective clothing, of course, but giving out free face masks to everyone who asked for it. They apparently received these supplies from overseas Christians to send them to them. But instead of hiding and freeing from death and, you know, everybody just hiding in their own home, trying to, you know, praying or hoping that it will not be affected, these Christians go out on the streets and hand out face masks, free face masks, to anyone who asks for it. And why did they do that? He says, this is because of Christ's love. It is because the gospel, the salvation, motivate them, not afraid of dying, but because of God's love, they want to proclaim this wonderful message. When life seems tangled, when nothing seems to work out, when there seems to be no answer for terrible losses or cruelty or power, remember Jesus' glorious transfiguration. Remember Moses and Elijah there talking with Jesus, putting all the pieces together, seeing how God worked all things good together for good, even through the rejection, suffering, and death of his glorious Son. Let us pray. Dear Lord Jesus, we thank you for the biblical account of your transfiguration. You show us, give us a foretaste of your glory, a foretaste of what we can look for at your second coming, together with your saints. We pray that today's message give us encouragement to face hardship, to face scorn, to face persecution and even death, because we have an anchor hope in you. Thank you, Lord. May your name be glorified, for we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.